Let's unite our hearts together, please, in a word of opening prayer. Eternal God and our Father, we come to Thee this morning, and then through that precious, all-worthy name of our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, we thank Thee, O God, today for the privilege that is ours to come before the great God of heaven. Lord, we come to Thee today, pleading for Thy help. Lord, we need Thee. And we pray, Lord, that as we come to worship Thee today, Lord, that You would be pleased to pour out Your Holy Spirit upon us in a most unusual and unique way. Lord, may we be very conscious that Thou art here. Remove every distracting thought. And Lord, for this time now, shut us in with Thyself. Hear and answer prayer. In the Saviour's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Our opening hymn is the hymn number 12, if you have a copy of our own church hymn book with you. Through all the changing scenes of life, in trouble or and in joy, the praises of my God shall still my heart and tongue employ. We'll stand together as we sing this opening hymn, please. All right. We'll sit. My apologies. Sorry, Gillian. Let's unite our hearts together again, please, in a word of prayer. Let's pray for the Lord's blessing, His presence with us this morning, as we come to His house, as we come to His throne of grace. Our Father and our God in heaven, we come into Thy holy presence once again. And Lord, we thank Thee today that we have an audience with the King of heaven. We thank Thee, Lord, today that we have this right, this privilege to come before Thee. Lord, we thank Thee today for each one that is redeemed, that we can address Thee, and we can call Thee our Father. We cry unto Thee today, Abba, Father. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee today that we who are saved, we've been brought out of the darkness. Lord, we've been brought out of the vileness of our sin. We've been brought into the light and the liberty of Jesus Christ. O God, we thank Thee today that we're in the family of God. We praise Thee, Lord, today, that there is nothing that can touch us or harm Thy children. We thank Thee, Lord, today that while many will seek to rise up against Thy true church, many will seek to rise up against Thy people, Yet, O God, we thank Thee today that we're on the victory side. We thank Thee, Lord, today that that victory has been secured for us at the place called Calvary. And we thank Thee, Lord, today for the righteousness and our standing and our acceptance that we have in Christ. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee today that as we come before Thee, we have this strong confidence today, not in ourselves, Lord, not in those around us, but found alone in the Lord. And our God and our Father, we thank Thee that while all around us changes, Lord, while circumstances change, Lord, even as we have been singing through every changing scene of life, Lord, we thank Thee today that we have one who remains unchangeable. Lord, we thank Thee today that Thou art the constant in all, Lord, that there is going on around us. Heavenly Father, we pray today, therefore, that You'll help us to fix our minds and our gaze upon Thee. Lord, lift our eyes heavenward today. Lord, we pray that You'll take us away from the temporal. Take us away, Lord, from the material. Take us away, Lord, from the physical. Lord, help us to see the King high and lifted up. Heavenly Father, we cry unto Thee today that we'll have that fresh view of our Savior, even as Isaiah had. Lord, as he, in that year that the king died, in that time of national chaos and crisis, yet, O God, we thank Thee that he lifted his eyes heavenward. And Heavenly Father, we pray that by faith we will see our Savior. Lord, that we be pleased to come. Stir our hearts, O God, we pray. Lord, speak peace. Lord, bring, Lord, we pray, calmness, Lord, into a situation, Lord, where there is no calm. Bring peace, Lord, into a very fearful and troubled world at this time. And Heavenly Father, we have to acknowledge, Lord, that Thy hand of judgment is upon us. We have to acknowledge, Lord, Thy wrath, which is due, is upon us just now. And Heavenly Father, we cry unto Thee today, Lord, on the basis of Thy mercy, and Lord, on the basis of Thy mercy alone, turn us, O God, we pray. Cause Thy face to shine upon us, O Lord, we pray. Heavenly Father, we pray that in the midst of, once again, Lord, this national disaster, this worldwide disaster, Lord, that we're in, when many hearts have been hardened to Thee, many have turned away from Thee, Lord, we pray, turn us. Lord, forgive us, O God, we pray. Forgive us of our sins, our own sins, our personal sins. Lord, we pray that You'll forgive us for the sins of our church. Forgive us, Lord, for the sins of our nation. And Heavenly Father, we pray You'd be pleased to come and do wonders amongst us. Lord, we cry unto Thee today, Lord, for the situation that we find ourselves in. Oh, Heavenly Father, we just pray that You'll remove this virus. Lord, that You'll defy, Lord, the powers that be today. Lord, that they might realize that they are but mere grasshoppers in the sight of a holy God. And Heavenly Father, we pray that You'd be pleased to either remove them or, Lord, reform them. And Lord, we pray that You'll turn them to Thyself, O God, we pray. Heavenly Father, deal with wickedness. Lord, deal with spiritual vileness and wickedness in high places at this time. Heavenly Father, we just pray that You will be pleased to turn our land back to God. Lord, turn our nation back to God. Turn we, Thy people, back to Thee, O God, we pray. Our Father, we pray that You be pleased to come and bless us as we meet in God's house. Lord, we just pray You be pleased to come and meet with everyone gathered here. Remember those who are watching online. And Heavenly Father, we just cry unto Thee for that breath of God, the Holy Spirit. Lord, where is our hope of survival? Save in Thy life-giving breath. And therefore, O God, we realize today that our hope is not in man. Our hope is not in governments. Our hope today is found alone in Thee. And Heavenly Father, we pray, therefore, that as we would fix our minds upon Thee, Lord, as we come around the Word of God, help us, O God, we pray, to know that perfect peace, to know that peace comes alone from the Prince of Peace, the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. Remember all those who are unwell. Remember, Lord, those who are ill in hospital at this time. Speak to them, O God, we pray. Strengthen them, O God. Heal them, Lord, for Thy glory. Turn them to Thyself. Remember all of the medical staff. Remember every doctor, every nurse. We pray for all those who are caring for those that are unwell. We just pray, Lord, for Your help and for Your protection at this time. We pray, Lord, for our land. Pray for our nation. Step in, O God, we pray, So answer prayer for us. Continue on with us now. In the Saviour's name we pray. Amen. Amen. At this stage, I want to make an announcement and also to make a statement, not only on behalf of our church session, but also on behalf of our presbytery. In a Zoom meeting of the General Presbytery of the Free Presbyterian Church of Ulster, held on yesterday, Saturday, the 21st of November, the following statement was presented and accepted with reference to the presbytery's view on the Stormont Executive's proposed two-week lockdown. It was also agreed that the statement would be read in our churches today, Sunday the 22nd of November, issued to the public press and also sent to the Stormont Executive. The statement reads this: As a presbytery, we wish to make known publicly our views upon the recently introduced lockdown measures to be in place for a further 2 weeks. While we agree with the efforts of government to control and minimise the effects of COVID-19, and while we are concerned about the effects of lockdown measures upon society in terms of the material welfare of the citizens of this province, yet above all else, the closure of places of public worship for a further 2 weeks is of major concern and regret to us. We would remind legislators that assembling to worship in public gatherings is an essential right and privilege bestowed upon mankind by God as Creator and Redeemer in order to provide for the spiritual and mental well-being of humanity. We would also remind legislators that, as history clearly reveals, liberty to worship according to the Scripture and the Gospel has contributed to the material stability and prosperity of society. Therefore, while we are prepared to be in subjection to government guidelines with respect to COVID-19 in terms of this proposed two-week closure of places of worship, we would urge upon the Stormont Executive that they must make every possible effort to ensure that there are no further such closures. We would also urge the Stormont Executive to call and to issue a call for prayer for the intervention of Almighty God in the face of this pandemic, that He might graciously remove it. And that is the end of the statement on behalf of the General Presbytery of our church. That means that for us as a congregation, we will still continue to meet tonight publicly, and we will also meet on Thursday night for our discipleship course. Before I say any more, can I make now an appeal to God's people and to our congregation? Do not take any more for granted the right and the privilege to gather publicly. Do not forsake the assembling of ourselves together either tonight or on Thursday night as the opportunity and the privilege is given to us. These events this past week, and as well over the time of the lockdown back in March, show to us and remind us just how important it is for us to meet publicly and not to forsake, just at a whim or any desire, the place of public worship. After Thursday night, from Friday onwards, we will not be able to have public meetings in the church for this two-week period. This means that there will be no youth fellowship this Friday evening, as was planned. There will be no Bible class or Sunday school, either here or in Hollywood, next Sunday or Sunday the 6th of December. The 11:30 and 6:30 services for next Sunday and the following Sunday will be online only, through sermon audio, through Facebook, and through YouTube. Also, the Thursday night Bible study and prayer meetings on Thursday the 3rd and Thursday the 10th of December will also be online only. The Explorers Club will continue online as well every Tuesday night. After that two-week period then is up, we will then, God willing, be able to have our final youth fellowship as planned here in the church on Friday the 11th of December. And then the Sunday schools and Bible classes will be able to reopen again on Sunday the 13th of December, and the 11:30 and 6:30 services will also be reopened again for the congregation to attend in public from the Sunday the 13th of December onwards as well. And so I trust you'll bear those things in mind and continue to make this a matter of much prayer. We need the Lord. There is no other answer. And the church has the answer. And we need to seek the Lord for that answer. We will no longer look to man, no longer look to governments. They have failed. They will continue to fail. They are ungodly. And we must, as God's people, look to the Lord for His divine intervention, because nothing else is going to save us from the crisis that we are in. A crisis of our own making. A crisis that this nation has brought upon itself. And a crisis, I believe, in a very particular way, that our province has brought upon itself. As I've said in the past, it has not gone unnoticed in the courts of heaven. It has not gone unnoticed in the courts of Almighty God that this province, in this year, has allowed for the murder of over 700 children. 700 infants murdered. How do we expect anything else? How do we expect the favor of God to be upon us? The church has a tremendous responsibility. Let's not fail in that responsibility now, to seek the Lord like never before. Let me at this stage then welcome you all along to our service today and trust the Lord will bless us as we come around His Word. So the Sunday School in Hollywood will continue as normal, 2:30 this afternoon. And also our gospel service will be on here in the church as normal tonight at 6:30. And as I said, I plead with you, please do not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. This is a privilege. It's been taken away from us for 2 weeks, but we have an opportunity tonight. Let's use that opportunity and that privilege to meet together in public tonight at 6:30. Our brother David Warwick will be here to sing tonight as well. Then on Tuesday night, the Online Explorers Club will continue on our Facebook Live page at 7 o'clock. Thursday night, our discipleship course will be here in the church and will be open for you to attend. These regulations do not come into force until Friday, and so we are able still to meet on Thursday night here in the church for that discipleship course. This Thursday night, as we said last Thursday, we're going to look at the subject of the Christian and alcohol. Now, this was a subject that I'd asked our brother Paul Roberts, to look at in our youth fellowship last year, and he did such a good job of it that I thought, well, there's no point in me even trying. I will leave it to the experts. And so he is going to deal with this subject on Thursday night, the Christian and alcohol. What does the Scripture say about the Christian and alcohol? Is it right just to have a drink now and again? Can we have social drinking? Or what does the Scripture say in relation to total abstinence? I think you know what the outcome will be and what our stand is. But let's, as we have sought over these past number of weeks, to explain to you from Scripture why we believe what we believe. So come on Thursday night, and that will be the last public meeting that we'll be able to have for the two-week period. There'll be no youth fellowship, as I said, this Friday evening. Next Sunday, again, as I've already intimated in the statement that I read out, that there will be no Sunday school or Bible classes here or in Hollywood, but there will be the online broadcast, as was during lockdown as well in the months from March onward. The broadcast will go out as normal, live here, 11:30 and 6:30 next Sunday. And they will be online only. Next Sunday morning, our brother Mr. Matthew Higgins will be speaking in that broadcast. I was booked for Coleraine next Sunday. I will be there next Sunday morning to do their live broadcast. I'll do a recording for them that they can then send out in the evening time. And then I'll be back here to preach in the gospel next Sunday for that online broadcast. Now, because the church will be closed from Thursday night onwards, we are asking for those who do wish to contribute to the shoebox appeal. If you could, if possible, if you haven't already done so, bring your shoeboxes in by Thursday night, this Thursday night, if at all possible. I know that's a little earlier than we had thought, but by the time we get back open again, it will be too late to bring your stuff in for the children. So if you haven't had a chance as yet to get any of the shoeboxes, then if you're planning to do that, please do that by Thursday night. Bring them in with you. If anybody does need them picked up from your home, wherever, we can certainly do that. Speak to Brother John or myself or somebody else and let us know, and we will certainly get them picked up if that is needed. We have also missionary boxes, and there are new missionary boxes coming. And if you would like a missionary box for you to put money as you can at home into that box, the boxes are brought in twice a year. But if you'd like to have a missionary box, and that goes to support the missionaries, the work of the Missionary Council, then speak to our brother William, and he will get one to you as soon as they become available. This is a way that you can, in your own home, just from time to time, support the missionary. So if you'd like to have a missionary box, then see William and we will get one to you. Do remember as well those who need our prayers. Remember the sick. Pray for Brian and Tom and Eileen. Pray for Billy as well. We'd also ask you especially to remember in prayer Janie's brother, Martin. Do pray for Martin at this time and pray that the Lord's healing hand will be upon him. He isn't very well. Pray that the Lord's saving hand would be upon him as well. Do remember, continue to remember Rosaline's brother Harold, wife Dorothy, glad to report of progress in their situation and improvement there, but to continue to remember them. Also, we would ask you to remember all of our shut-ins and our elderly folk at this time. Pray that the Lord will be very near to them and may He draw close to them at this time. The Vision magazine is available. There are copies there on your seats. If you wish for other copies, then there are a few spare ones available as you leave, and take those with you. Also, one other thing I just want to push, and that is the LTBS calendar. There's about five or six of these left. They are $3.50, and all the money goes to support the work of Let the Bible Speak. We would love to get all of these cleared up, and all of them sold, and all of the money then sent on to LTBS. So there's five or six left. Once they're gone, they're gone. And if you can use them, maybe to give out to someone else, then that certainly would help. But you're not only buying a calendar, you're also supporting the work of Let the Bible Speak, and a more and a very important work that it continues through the radio and also as well through the TV channels. So please, if you can, take as many as you can, $3.50 each, and you can pay. We do not buy or sell on the Lord's Day, but you can pay Kyle then at another time. There are no offerings, as you know, being lifted, but the boxes are there at the back as you leave to receive your tithes and your offerings. We're turning this morning to the book of Isaiah, please. The book of Isaiah and the chapter 25. Isaiah chapter 25. I want to speak this morning on the subject of perfect peace in the pandemic. Perfect peace in the pandemic. But let's read together from Isaiah chapter 25 and the verse number 9. Isaiah 25, we'll read from the verse number 9, and we'll read through on into chapter 26 as well. Let me welcome as well those who are joining us by way of our broadcast. We welcome you as well to our service this morning. Isaiah chapter 25 and the verse number 9. And it shall be said in that day, lo, this is our God. We have waited for him, and he will save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. We will be glad and rejoice in his salvation. For in this mountain shall the hand of the Lord rest, and Moab shall be trodden down under him, even as straw is trodden down for the dunghill. And he shall spread forth his hands in the midst of them, as he that swimmeth spreadeth forth his hands to swim. And he shall bring down their pride together with the spoils of their hands. And the fortress of the high forts of thy wall shall he bring down, lay low, and bring to the ground, even to the dust. In that day shall this song be sung. In the land of Judah we have a strong city. Salvation will God appoint for walls and bulwarks. Open ye the gates, that the righteous nation which keepeth the truth may enter in. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust thee in the Lord Jehovah, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. For he bringeth down them that dwell on high. The lofty city he layeth it low. He layeth it low even to the ground. He bringeth it even to the dust. The foot shall tread it down, even the feet of the poor, and the steps of the needy. The way of the just is uprightness. Thou most upright dost weigh the path of the just. Yea, in the way of thy judgments, O Lord, have we waited for thee. The desire of our soul is to thy name and to the remembrance of thee. With my soul have I desired thee in the night. Yea, with my spirit within me will I seek thee early. For when thy judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world will learn righteousness. Let favor be showed to the wicked. Yet will he not learn righteousness. In the land of uprightness will he deal unjustly, and will not behold the majesty of the Lord. Lord, when thy hand is lifted up, they will not see, but they shall see, and be ashamed for their envy at the people. Yea, the fire of thine enemies shall devour them. Amen. We'll end there at verse number 11, and we pray the Lord will bless the reading of his word. Verse 3 and verse 4 is where we want to center our thoughts upon this morning. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed in thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever. Perfect peace in the pandemic. Let's stand together, please, if you can, at this stage, for a word of prayer. For those who are able to stand, let's stand together. If you're not able to stand, please don't worry, as we seek the Lord's face now in prayer. Eternal God and our Father, our eyes are toward thee just now. Heavenly Father, we pray that you be pleased to come and speak to all of our hearts. Lord, we need thee. Lord, may we hear the voice of the Lord today. Lord, we pray for the help of the Spirit of God to come, to open our eyes, to calm our hearts, and Lord, to speak those words of peace. Lord, be pleased to be one of our number. Be pleased, O God, to come. Bless thy word today to every waiting heart. So hear and answer prayer. Continue on with us. Do our hearts good. Lord, give us help to preach, and give us help to hear. And through it all, may thy name be honored and glorified. Hear this, our prayer, for we ask it in the name of Christ and for his honor and glory alone. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you. It goes without saying that in the midst of this pandemic that we are currently in, there is one thing that is in very short supply, and that is peace. Real peace. True peace. The news reports, the media outlets, the sickness, the sorrows of this year have all resulted in creating a fear, a worry, a concern amongst so many that, certainly as far as I am concerned, has been unseen or unheard of in recent memory. This morning, by the help of God, I want, as your pastor, to bring comfort and to bring encouragement, but also to bring direction from the Word of God as to why we should not allow our lives to be overcome with so much fear and so much anxiety and, yes, dare I say it, so much frustration. But why that even in the midst of this pandemic that we can experience and we can know real true, lasting peace. If for the child of God, I fully understand that it's not always easy to be at peace. And far too often we can be overcome with anxiety and concern with the cares of this life. And yet the reality is today that that is not the way the Lord wants us to live our lives. Dear believer, today, it is not the desire or the will of the Lord that we, His people, should be living in constant and continual fear. Yes, of course, there'll be times when we are given to worry. Times when we are given to anxiety and a state of fear. But that should not be continual. Paul writing in that pastoral letter to Timothy, he said, God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. God hath not given us the spirit of fear. The spirit of fear that is prevalent today and widespread in society and in the church is not of God. But rather, God has given us a power, a tremendous resource to overcome that fear. He has given us love. He has given us a sound mind. Paul, when he was writing those words to Timothy, knew that Timothy was a timid man. May well be that Paul knew that Timothy, as he was starting out in his ministry and his service for the Lord, was in great fear, because by the time he wrote to Timothy and he wrote those pastoral letters, Paul's ministry was coming to an end. And the great apostle was, his ministry was almost finished. And Paul no doubt knew that in the mind of Timothy there was this fear. How would the work continue? But Paul writes to Timothy. And Paul says to Timothy, don't allow the temporal circumstances to overrule your life and to destroy your peace. Paul wrote to Timothy and said that fear, it's not of God. And so he wrote to Timothy to dispel that fear, but also to develop his faith. Because you see, folks, as we come today around the Word of God, and when we have a greater appreciation and understanding of the enabling and the empowering Spirit of God in our lives, that will give rise to a healthy state of mind and living. It's when we come to the words of our text today that I believe that we fully see how that works in practice. Verse 3, Isaiah 26. Familiar words, well-known words. But I trust a word in season to all of our hearts today. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. You see, here is the Lord writing to his people through the words of the prophet Isaiah and saying, it is possible, despite all that's going on around you, despite all the upset, and despite all the ungodliness that there is, it is possible, and more than that, it is needful to have peace and to be at peace. This morning, therefore, I pray that God would use his word to speak to all of our hearts, to speak to all of us who are gathered in God's house today, to speak to those who are watching online from various places. Because the Lord writes here to his people. And the Lord, I believe, very clearly and very definitely has a word to our hearts today to dispel our fear and also to develop our faith. In the words of verses 3 and 4, there's a remedy, there's a cure. How we can overcome the fear, overcome the worry and all the anxiety that there is in the heart and life of the child of God. I want you to see, first of all, with me here, the strong confidence that is outlined. The strong confidence that is outlined. The words of verse 3 give great reassurance and confidence to the child of God. They're blessed words. They're encouraging words. But you see, they're made all the more encouraging when we consider the context in which they are made. When we consider the background as to what Paul or what the prophet Isaiah is saying here, it makes it all the greater. The strong confidence, yes, lies in the words of verse 3 and 4. But the strong confidence also lies in the context in which verses 3 and 4 are set. This verse is set in the context of the day of the Lord. Look at verse number 1. In that day shall this song be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. Salvation will God appoint for walls and bulwarks. It's the day of the Lord, the day of the Lord's return, when he will return in glory and all his enemies will become his footstool. That day, as we see in verse 4, when the people of God will sing like never they have sung before. This chapter contains a song for the praise and for the safety, but also for the prosperity of the church. Because of the destruction of all of her enemies on that day when the Lord comes again. Verse number 1 talks about the strong city. It's representing the church. The church whose walls and bulwarks are salvation. The city whose gates have been opened for the congregation of the righteous to enter in. Isaiah, I'm sure you know the context of Isaiah's day. It was ungodly, as most of the time was when the prophets were writing. People were turning from the Lord. People had no thought after the Lord. But Isaiah writes to them and says there's a day of victory and a day of conquest yet ahead for the church of Jesus Christ. Isaiah chapter 25 has been dealing with the overthrow of all the enemies of the church. We just consider the very last verse of chapter 25. It says, the fortress of thy wall shall he bring down low and bring to ground even to the dust. He's speaking about the Lord spreading forth his hand and bringing to naught all the enemies of the church of Jesus Christ. And then on that day when the enemies of the Lord will be finally and forever destroyed. Look how that day is described in verse 11 of chapter 26. Lord, when thy hand is lifted up. You see, the prophet has a strong confidence that even though he's living in an ungodly age, and even though there are many things to destroy and to disturb the peace of the child of God, yet he has confidence that there is coming a day when the hand of the Lord will be lifted up against every enemy of the gospel and against every enemy of the church of Jesus Christ, and all the enemies will be destroyed. The Lord rises up to condemn and to damn the wickedness of that generation. It'll be a day of terrible destruction, a day of terrible devastation. But in the context of what Isaiah is saying there in the opening part of the chapter, it will be a day of great joy and happiness for the child of God. That day that even we've been considering in our studies through the book, the latter chapters of the book of Revelation, back during the summertime. That day when we enter our eternal rest. And that new Jerusalem, that place not made with hands, that city whose builder and maker is God. In that day when the Lord shall lift up his hand and smite forever the enemies of this world, and bring to naught. You say then, what has this got to do with the subject of peace? What has this got to do with an absence of worry? Well, it has got everything to do with it. Because we all can be guilty of only having a view and a vision of all that's happening around us and before our eyes. We all can be guilty of seeing only the enemies of the gospel and seeing only those who are hostile to the gospel. We can all be guilty of only seeing wickedness and vileness and wretchedness and thinking this is how it's going to be. Folks, there is coming a day when the Lord will lift up his hand and destroy every enemy. And the church of Jesus Christ, the redeemed of the Lord, shall march victorious into that heavenly city. We can become too earthly minded and too earthly focused and taken up with all that's going on around us. And all that we consider right now, all we hear right now is about a virus and a virus and a virus. And our minds are focused only to think about a virus and a sickness and death. But the child of God today, our minds, as we'll see, need to be focused on that day when the Lord will come and all sickness will be removed. And that day when we shall enter in victorious to that new Jerusalem. We are going to leave this world behind. We're not here forever. And should we live for 100 years or more, one day, we're going to leave this world behind. The Apostle Paul said, "For to me to live is Christ, And he did live for Christ. And yes, there is a tremendous responsibility upon we as the people of God that while we are on this earth to live for Christ, but he said this, to die is gain. None of us want to die. None of us want to lose our family members. But for the child of God, death is not a tragedy. For the child of God, death is the greatest triumph. As we leave this world of sickness behind and we go to be with Christ. So often we focus on this day. And so often we focus what's happening on this day. And only we see the things unfolding before us this day. And as a result, we become overcome with worry and fear and anxiety. We need to keep our eyes on that day. That day when the Lord comes in power and glory. Because we are on the victory side today. Though all hell should rage against the church here on earth, one day every agent of hell will be damned to hell for all eternity. And the people of God redeemed and ransomed home to glory. Remember the words of Christ to his disciples. And as Christ went out to the cross, and as he went in before Pilate, and there was fear, there was concern, there was worry, and the disciples were overcome with this worry. How is this going to happen? What are we going to do now? The Savior is now before Pilate. He's going to go out and he's going to die. What did the Lord say to them? He said, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. You see, the disciples, like we're all guilty of, thought that the world and Pilate and the governments were in control. But our God's in control today. And our God has overcome this world. And every evil and wicked ruler will one day stand before God to give an account. Like we'll all stand before God to give an account, by the way. Each one of us. They believed, the disciples that is, believed it was all over. Believed the world had won. Christ was going to die. Their faith was now in vain. But the Lord says, no, no, no. Don't look to man. Look to me. Be of good cheer. Because I have overcome the world. Pilate's not in control of my life. Just as Herod before him was in control of his life. The Lord was in control of his life all the way through his life. He said, be of good cheer. Child of God today, be of good cheer. Because we have this strong confidence that one day, in that day, the Lord shall lift up his hand. A hand of judgment for the ungodly, but a hand of triumph for child of God. The strong confidence outlined. But let's come to verse 3. And notice now this specific consideration detailed. What is specifically contained in this promise? As we live on this earth, as we journey toward that day when the Lord shall lift up his hand and we shall go to be with Christ, there are contained within these words specific matters that that we must keep in mind in order to experience this peace. Verse 3. Notice that it's a definite peace. Verse 3 says, "Thou will keep him in perfect peace." In the original, the language is more emphatic. That word perfect there is the same word as peace. And if you have a margin in your Bible, you can see that it can literally read peace, peace. Thou will keep him in peace. Double peace, repeated peace, coupled peace. Oh, not just merely peace, but peace, peace, double peace. It was quite right to use that word perfect there, because I believe the prophet is seeking to bring out the comparison with the counterfeit peace, with the false peace, with the imperfect peace. We all know about imperfect peace. We all know that across this world there's an imperfect peace. But here's a definite peace. Here's not some sort of wishy-willy desire that we can have. We can have this definite peace, true peace, peace on top of peace. Because that's what the Lord desires for us. It's definite, but notice as well, it's divine. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace. Thou is referring back to God in verse number 1. See, this is a peace born in heaven. This perfect peace that the prophet is speaking about is not something that he'll find in anybody around him. This perfect peace is not something that he's going to find in the circumstances that he will have to come across. This double peace, this perfect peace, this emphatic peace is from the Lord. It's divine peace. And of course, when we consider this peace, we are brought to the cross. We're brought to that place when the Lord Jesus Christ is our Savior and our Redeemer. Gave His life, a ransom for our sins. His life and His blood was shed that we might have peace with God. Do you know why there's no real peace in this world today? Because there, first of all, isn't peace with God. This world is at war with God. And that's why there's no peace. And there will never be peace until they come to experience the peace of God and peace with God. This is a divine peace. That peace which is ours to be enjoyed through the finished work of Christ. You see, you stop for a moment and think what you are, what you have today. You're saved today. Your sins are forgiven. You're saved today. You're no longer under the wrath of God. You're saved today. You have a home in heaven, assured, guaranteed. That's where our peace is found. That's what brings joy to our troubled hearts. That's the foundational, fundamental peace that we must enjoy and experience, even through all the valley experiences, through all the troubles of life. We can know this peace because first and foremost, we have peace with God. This world knows nothing about that peace. But thank God we know that peace through the blood of Jesus Christ. It's a divine peace. We can't know this perfect peace through anything we find in this world. It'll only be from Him. But I want you to see here as well, it's a deliberate peace. Verse 3 says, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee." You see, there's something very deliberate about this peace that we can have. What is it? We have to deliberately, actually, keep our minds on the Lord. That word stayed there, it means to fix. It means to focus our minds and our thoughts and our considerations. It means bringing everything to the Lord. It means casting all our care upon Him. It means bringing to the Lord all those things that cause us to worry and be concerned. Those matters that would create anxiety, it's when we keep our minds on Him. That's how we will know this peace. It is a deliberate focusing, fixing on the Lord. Because you see, when we consider again all that we have in Christ, all that we are in Christ, we're forgiven, we're redeemed, we're saved. That will fill the child of God with tremendous peace. We need to feed our minds on Christ. We need to fix our minds on Him. We need to focus our minds on Him. Even away from our personal situations. Even away from the trouble that surrounds us. We need to get our eyes on Christ. We can feed our minds so easily on all that would discourage us. We can feed our minds on all those things that will defile us, and those things will bring us into bondage. The prophet is saying here, you need to feed your mind on Christ. You need to stay your mind on Him. Because you see, whenever we stay our mind on the Lord, whenever we see the Lord high and lifted up, then we'll be at peace. That even through all the storms of life and through all the difficulties of life, we remember that He's in control. You see, whenever you and I see only things that unfold before us, when we see only those things that happen from day to day and we fail to see the Savior who's high over all those things, then we will be troubled. We do not heed this instruction of staying our minds on the Lord, then we will be in fear and we will worry and we will be anxious. But when we stay our minds on the Lord, that He's in control, that there's nothing that's going to happen to you or I outside the will of God. He's sovereign. His purposes will prevail. He worketh all things together for our good and to His glory. He works all things after the counsel of His own will. It's a deliberate peace as well because the Lord says, thou wilt keep Him. You see, we keep our minds on Him. The Lord will keep our minds in peace. That's why I've said it's a very deliberate peace. We keep our minds on the Lord. He says, I'll keep your mind in peace. You see, whenever we fill our minds with everything that's going on in this world, we hear everything, we read everything, we take in everything, we Google everything, we'll become fearful. We keep our minds on Him. The Lord says, I'll keep you mind and peace, perfect peace. The strong confidence, the specific consideration, but finally, as we close then, there is the simple challenge. Verse 4. On the basis of what has gone in verse 3, there's the challenge now in verse 4. Trust ye in the Lord. forever. Here's the challenge. Put it now into action. Instead of worrying about what's going to happen, and because we don't know what's going to happen, bring it to the Lord, leave it with the Lord, and trust in the Lord. It's nothing new. It's nothing novel. It's nothing you or I haven't heard before. But it's the only answer and it's the only remedy. Trust in the Lord. Whatever state of mind we're in, whatever condition we're in, no matter how dark it may be, no matter how bright it may be, trust in Him. He who causes all things to work together. He who is ordering all things. He who is planning everything. Because you see, you read verses 3 and 4. The instruction, the lesson is very clear. The more we trust Him, the less we will fear. We don't always understand the workings of the Lord. We don't. We don't understand why the Lord allows what He allows. Folks, we're not called to understand the mind of God. Our finite minds will never grasp the infinite, all-wise mind of God. We're not called to understand it. We're called to trust it. Lord, I don't know what You're doing. I don't know why You're doing it. But Lord, I'm trusting You through it. That's peace. That's perfect peace. As the psalmist could say, as for God, His way is perfect. That's trust. Not rocket science. It's not some new Bible discovery. It's how the church is to live. It's how the Christian is to live, trusting in the Lord. Notice the result. Verse 4, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. Talks about there the Jehovah God being the rock of ages. We're strengthened. You see, our fear brings weakness, doesn't it? When we're gripped by fear, we're overcome by fear, we're weak and we don't want to do anything, we don't want to go anywhere. That's what fear does. But when we live our lives trusting the Lord, and we can say, no matter what comes, no matter what way we're called to walk down, it's the best way for me, even though I don't understand it. That will bring us strength. As we face the future on certain days and unknown pathways, and as we continue through this pandemic and into the next crisis, whatever that might be, remember, though the natural man would fear and be anxious and overcome with fear, let's rest in the Lord. Let's trust in Him. Let's wait on Him. Because that's how we can know His perfect peace. In the midst of this crisis, and in the midst of every other crisis that will come our way. Hudson Taylor, missionary to China, said, let us give up our work, our plans, ourselves, our lives, our loved ones, our influence, our all, right into God's hands. Then he said, when we have given Him our all, there'll be nothing then left for us to be troubled about. Let's give everything to the Lord. Let's give our nation. Let's give this crisis, this pandemic, to the Lord in prayer. Let's give ourselves, our church, to the Lord in prayer. And let's trust in Him. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. Don't look to man. Don't trust man. Look to the Lord. Trust ye in the Lord forever. We can know then that perfect peace in the midst of this pandemic. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Eternal God and our Father, we pray that we might all experience that peace. May we all know that peace. Lord, through these dark and difficult days, may we still know God's peace. Oh Lord, help us to stay our minds upon Thee. Help us, Lord, to fix our gaze upon the Savior. Oh God, we just look to Thee. Come, we pray. May this word just not be another message, another sermon. Lord, we pray that You'll help us by faith to put this word into action and to trust Thee. Our Father, we pray You'll bless Thy word to our hearts. In the Savior's name we pray. Amen.